اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح تقام الصلاه تقام الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر سبحان الله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اعط كتابنا بايماننا وحاسبنا حساب يسير اللهم نسالك حسن الخاتمه ونعوذ بسوء اللهم حاسبنا حساب يسير اللهم اعنا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وارحمهما كما ربنا صغيرا اللهم انسلك الهدى والتقى والعفاف من ومن انسلك العفو في ديننا ودنيا اهلنا ومالنا اللهم استر عوراتنا اللهم اجعلك في محمده ومشاه سمينا وارضنا برحمتك يا
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So tonight we are speaking about the final message, the final lecture, or the final sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the messages or the lessons that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us in that final khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the most famous of his final khutbahs. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahum salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa barak salim. So, majority of this would be taken from the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu, although this is such a narration that's been narrated by many sahaba, and in almost every one of the major kitabs of hadith there is a mention of this khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made intention to do hajj in the 10th year of in the 10th year of living in Medina. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina for 9 years. In the 10th year, when the 10th year started, he made an intention to go for hajj. And in that year, when people found out that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to go for hajj, this would have been the first hajj of Muslims only. Because prior to that, it was kuffar used to also do hajj. So this would have been the first hajj of Muslims only, or hajj being done in the Muslim way for the first time. So imagine if any one of us was there, you know, how much of desire you'd have wanted to be there in that hajj. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he announces it, thousands and thousands of people start joining him. So from the tribes around and from the tribes that were far away, they start gathering and coming to Medina and starting setting camp outside of Medina. And in this trip, in this journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many people had accepted Islam that nowhere else and no other occasion so many people accept Islam at once like this one trip. So another interesting thing about this trip was, when we say sahaba, when we say somebody is a sahabi, we expect or we imagine that they would have been those who spent a few years with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or at least some portion of their life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from this hadith, you'll understand that majority of those who we count as sahaba, they only spent this one time with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their entire life. This was their first and their last time to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they were with him for a month, if they were with him for a week, that's the only time they were with him. So some joined in Medina, and some joined on the way, and as they went along to Makkah, they joined until he reached there, and some joined in Makkah. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the 25th of Dhul Qa'dah, what month are we in? Dhul Qa'dah, alhamdulillah. So the 25th of Dhul Qa'dah, it was a Saturday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does Zuhr Salah in his own masjid, and after that, with his wives, he leaves, and he goes to Dhul Hulayfa. You know where Dhul Hulayfa? We take a bath, or where those showers are in that masjid. This is the same place that Isa alayhi salam will also start his hajj from. When Isa alayhi salam comes, he'll also start his hajj from there. And it happens to be the furthest miqat away from the haram, from Makkah. Now, Rasulullah left from there after starting putting on his ihram. His ihram is two pieces of Yemeni cloth, white cloth, nothing different, nothing separating him from the rest of the Ummah. Even though he is the leader of mankind in this dunya and in the akhirah, nothing on his outward shows that he is above anybody else. He is carrying goods, his own baggage like everybody else. He is on his camel like everybody else. He's got two cloths on him like everybody else. Nothing different. And when he is going, he is also among everybody, so he is mixing with everybody. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches on the 4th of Dhul Hijjah in Makkah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, it was a Sunday morning, Saturday evening. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam camps outside in Wadi Tuwa, in the valley of Tuwa. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like entering a city at night. He always liked to enter it in the morning. So that's what you'll see in other narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came back to Medina also. If they came at night, he camped outside, and in the morning they come. So same way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam camped outside Sunday morning, 5th of Zil Hijjah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enters Makkah. Now remember, I said that most of these people never heard a khutbah from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their life. Most of them haven't seen him in their life. Most of them have never heard anything from him ever. So whatever they're going to hear in this Hajj is something that they have to stick with for the rest of their life. There's no YouTube that they're going to go back and watch. There's no recordings that they can go back and listen. There's hardly anybody that knows how to write, that they could make notes of what was going on. So whatever they've been told, they have to memorize it and live by that for the rest of their life. So from the wisdom's perspective, think of it, that him giving the lecture, what kind of a lecture do you give to people who've never heard anything before, and this is what they're going to live with forever? And they're going to pass this message back to those places where they came from, that this is what we heard Rasulullah saying. So it has to be such a message that includes everything, and it's such a like a overarching message that would cover enough that they could practice on for the rest of their life, inshallah. So, and very interestingly, this is one of the lectures where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ, that those who are present, take it to those who are absent. So the clear instruction of passing the message. Another miracle that happened in this time was, there was over 100,000 Sahaba, approximately 124,000 to, between 124,000 to 144,000 Sahaba. And there's no speaker system, there's no mics, there's no people relaying the message, and there's no shades or some sort of structure that would shade anybody. So everybody is in their little tents, whichever they have, wherever they are, in their own camps. And Rasulullah gives a message, and they are wherever they are, and they could hear the message of Rasulullah clearly. So, and if anyone went, the area of Mina is about 4 miles wide. Imagine from where you have to be over everybody, over the whole crowd, for everybody to hear one message. The message that Rasulullah gave, although we would read it in hadith as one long message, it was repeated over and over in those few days. So from the 9th, 10th, 11th, it was repeated over and over. Certain days little bit extra, certain days little bit less. And Nabi Sallam said it sometimes in individual camps, like this comb, that comb, that comb, separately. And at times Nabi Sallam gave it as a address to everybody. So, but the wording was close enough that the message was repeated over and over. That's why you find that so many narrations of, or so many kitabs of hadith have this, but at the same time, so many kitabs of so many different narrators would be narrating this. One, for the reason of فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ, that everybody should pass the message. So if they pass the message, that's why it was narrated. But because it was repeated so many times, so many heard it, so many narrated it with their variations, meaning not they added things, but what they remembered from the lecture. So they might have forgotten certain things, or they might have missed out certain things when they re-narrated it. Because remember, it was not written down, it was ever they remembered. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts the message, and the first thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is, listen attentively. Listen attentively. Now, one of our, if I was in South Africa, I would have said, listen properly. Why? Because our president, when he started his lecture, he said, listen properly. So listen properly, inshallah. Listen attentively, because I don't know if I will be with you again. So this is an indication of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although Nabi Sallam is giving these hints, they still don't want to acknowledge that he's actually saying it. So Nabi Sallam was saying it, but they're not ready to admit that he's actually saying it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, listen carefully, take this message to those who are not present here today. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that just as you take this city to be sacred and respected, and how you take this month to be sacred and respected, and how you take this day, the day of Arafah, to be, or the days of Hajj, to be sacred and respected, the life, the property, and the izzat, the honor of every Muslim, is also sacred. So like how you wouldn't kill somebody in the haram, likewise you can't kill or take the life of somebody outside because they are Muslim. Likewise, any wealth that belongs to a Muslim is haram for you also. And likewise, the izzat of somebody is also haram. So to knowingly degrade somebody, to knowingly bring down somebody's name just because you want to tarnish, just because you want to take away their reputation, that is haram. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that do not kill one another. So don't go back to how the people of Jahiliyyah were, that they would kill one another for no reason or for not much reason. So don't go back to that. And in this lecture, for most part of it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking about hukukul ibad, the rights of people. Most of it was the rights that owed to people. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who are the trusts that you are given, whatever amanat you are given, return it to the rightful owners. Don't keep it for yourself, don't cheat the rightful owner out of it, but return it back to those who had entrusted it to you. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all the fights, all the long feuds that is, the Arabs used to have long feuds. For years, my great-grandfather used to fight with somebody, or some camel ate from my great-grandfather's yard. Now we're not talking to that family, and they carry on fighting. The Muslim said, I'm crushing all of this now. And subhanAllah, we think that that was Jahiliyyah, and that's when the Muslim crushed it. But I promise you, look into your own selves, and look into your own families and neighbors. You'll notice that some of us don't talk to a certain family because somewhere along the line, somebody did something. And it happens. I was imam of a masjid in a town called Lakhtambagh. And subhanAllah, they, half the town don't talk to the other half town. Why? Because their grandfathers had a fight. I promise you. So some of them don't come to this masjid because those people built it. And others don't go to that masjid because it's that jamaat, that group. Their children are married to each other because they got married to each other before the fight. But now they don't talk to their own children because they're married to that family. Imagine how crazy that is. And subhanAllah, amazingly, there's a lot of my family in the town. Some of my family were in charge of this masjid, some of my family were in charge of the other masjid. So you lot don't talk to you lot. They live on the same block. They share a yard, and you still don't talk to each other because some grandfather said something. SubhanAllah. So if we thought Jahiliyyah was foolish, we haven't stopped. We haven't progressed. SubhanAllah. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hurt nobody so that nobody will hurt you. You don't harm anybody, nobody will harm you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Rabb, and you are going to go back to Him, and He is going to reckon all your actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take an account of all your actions. So remember that. That day is going to come. Whatever you do, whether you cheated somebody, whether you took somebody's right, whether you spoiled somebody's reputation, whether you've been keeping up some holy fight from hundreds of years, all of that, you're going to answer for it on the day of Qiyamah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden interest. And all the obligations of interest are finished today. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with his uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu. And anybody who owes interest to my own uncle, we are finishing it today. The capital that should be paid back, everything else is abolished. And the reason for that was because it's a system that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's the same system today. It's nothing changed. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't obey shaitan, or be careful or be wary of shaitan for the reason of the safety of your deen. Then Rasulullah then says that he has lost all hope in leading you astray in big matters. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is here talking about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that in misguiding you from the deen, he already lost hope. But in the small things, be careful. So these small things, in our examples would be, small fitna, small bid'at, small innovations that we start. Shaitan doesn't, it's not going to take your deen away, but he's going to trick you by practicing on something that's made up, with the idea that you are practicing on deen. You think you're practicing on deen, so you're never going to make tawbah for it. Because if you're doing a sin, if you're doing something that's wrong, you know that it's sinful, even though you're doing it. Eventually, somewhere along the line, you might make tawbah for it. But if you are doing an action and you believe that you're doing right, will you ever ask for tawbah for that? Never. Because you believe you're right. So shaitan tricks you into sinning or doing bid'at, doing innovations, so that you won't ever ask tawbah for it, because he makes you imagine that you're indeed. So you're not going to ask tawbah. So then Rasulullah speaks about the rights of woman. And probably in history, this was one of the first recorded lectures speaking about the rights of women. Imagine the person who gets blasted most for treating or getting married to somebody that's so young, or not having a religion of, unfairness and those kind of stuff, inequality, is the first person who spoke about the rights of women. SubhanAllah. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then says that I advise you regarding women. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made them more fragile. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made them fragile. So I advise you, don't abuse them, don't take advantage of them, and don't go overbound in your treatments with them. In another hadith, separately to this one, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says about traveling with ladies, that when you're traveling with ladies, they are like glass bottles. So don't travel in a harsh way, meaning when you're driving, when you're traveling with them, don't move in such a way that will hurt them, because they are fragile, like glass bottles. So same hadith would be applied here. Similarly, the rib is also fragile. So when the Wisdom gives these examples, it covers everything, that our treatment to women should be like something that's fragile. They're easy to break, they're easy to get hurt, so we should be careful in the way we treat them. We wouldn't be rough with a glass. Likewise, don't be rough with women. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the five pillars of Islam and the importance of it. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks about equality. This is another interesting one. That here also Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first recorded lecture ever in history regarding racism. No one before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about race. Ever, that we know of, that was recorded. Unless some other Nabi before him, maybe at some point, but before that or after that, nobody has recorded anything of this. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then says, there's no superiority of one race over another. And all of mankind are from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Most of what I'm saying is just paraphrasing, it's not exactly the full hadith, because it's taken from different hadith. So Rasulullah said that all of mankind are from Adam alayhi salam, from one man, and your Rabb is one. And then Rasulullah says that there's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab, and no superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab, and no of white over black, no of black over white. So not your color, not your race, not your tribe, nothing makes you superior to anybody else. Then Rasulullah said the only virtue you can have is righteousness. And taqwa is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So who are we to say that, oh, we are better than somebody else? فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مِنِ التَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't cleanse yourself so much. Don't say, I'm so pure, I'm so, mashallah, I'm so pious. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مِنِ التَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who has the most taqwa. So don't claim anything for yourself. But this would apply to every one of us. So it apply to every one of us. Don't ever think that we are better than somebody else, better than another nation, better than another comb, better than another gham, better than another country better than anybody else just because we belong to this group and they are from that group. Or we are from a richer country, they are from a poorer country. We are from this family, they are not from this family. We are from this Jamaat, they are from that Jamaat. You don't know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in the heart. So don't ever think or imagine that you have any sort of superiority over anybody else. And then from this also we could say that the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuha an-nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, I have created you from a single man and a single woman. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا, that we made you into nations and tribes only so that you can recognize one another. You recognize one another, oh, that's a Pakistani uncle, that's a Bengali uncle. But not to think you are superior to somebody else. Just as a description. Oh, it's a person from that place. It's a person from Birmingham. It's a person from also. To say where you're from, which tribe you joined with, oh, this family, that family. But not to think that anybody is better than anybody else. In akramakum indallahi atqakum. Same thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Same thing Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala says. The most honored among you is those who have most taqwa. So it's not any tribe, but it's just your taqwa. Included in this is the children and grandchildren of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That they cannot claim superiority over anybody else. That we are from the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they will be judged the same way as anybody else. If they sin, they get the same. If they do good, they get the same. They don't get extra rewards because they're family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They don't get less punishment because they're family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They get treated the same. So nobody, not a single person, gets superiority over anybody else. Even if you are royal, even if you whoever. Then Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about standing on the day of Qiyamah, that you will have to answer for your deeds. So remind again. Remember on Friday we spoke about Hajj being similar to Qiyamah. Here is also the reminder that Hajj, or a reminder of Qiyamah, that you are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you do, no matter whatever you want to do in your life, there's a day going to come that you have to answer for whatever you did. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and subhanallah, this was so clear, and still people are misguided, subhanallah. If only we could have this one hadith, so many other fitnas would be stopped. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says there's no new Nabi to come, no new religion to come. You think we have Ahmadis? We're saying, think about it. Do you think we would have had Ahmadis if people had knowledge of this one hadith? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this hadith, emphasized it so much that it should be passed to everybody. And because of us not passing it, that's why we have people who are misguided. Because of us not passing the message, that's why we have people who are misguided. Because we failed in our responsibility. If there's no new Nabi to come, there's no new religion to come. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there's two things, if you hold on to it, you'll be rightly guided. The Quran and my Sunnah. The Quran and my Sunnah, the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you hold on to these two things, inshallah, you'll never be misguided. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, pass this message to others. Take this message to those who are not able to make it here, those who are not present here. And subhanallah, this is another reminder for us. Sometimes, you know, we think that the Tablighi brothers are a little bit crazy. You know, why do they come to the Muslim houses? It's a question that comes. Why don't they go to the non-Muslim houses? Why do they come to the Muslims? We're already Muslim, we're already coming to Masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take this message to those who didn't get the message. So, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never said, those of you who's practicing on this hadith should take it to others. Those of you who's alim must take this message. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left it open. Everybody who hears this message, take it to somebody else. Everyone. So it's open, whether you're practicing it on it or not. Whether you know about it or not, you have to take it. There's two interesting hadith on this. One, there's a hadith that Nabi Sallam describes knowledge like earth. So Nabi Sallam says that there's three kinds of earth, or three types of ground. One is such that when it rains, it soaks water inside, and it grows lush plants and grasses and things, so animals come and eat from it. So the second type of land is such that it's a bit hard. So when it rains, it collects the water and it keeps it there for some other animals to drink from it. And the third type of land is such that it's so hard and it's so designed in such a way that when it rains, the water just flows off. Neither does it soak into the ground itself, neither does it keep it for something else to benefit from. So then the Nabi Sassam gives that as the example of knowledge, that those some people who take the knowledge, they benefit themselves by soaking it inside themselves and grow for others, where they're passing it to others, where others can benefit. So they're practicing and they're passing it to others. Then the second type of people are those who are carriers of knowledge. They might not benefit from it themselves, but they carried it for somebody else. So they might have written some kitab, they might have given some lecture, they might have done something. They didn't get the opportunity, or they didn't, for whatever reason, practice on it themselves, but they stored it for somebody else, that somebody else came and benefited from that knowledge. And then the third type is useless. The knowledge came like the rain came. Neither did you soak it into yourself, neither did you benefit from it, nor did you grow anything from it that somebody else could benefit, neither did you keep it for somebody else that something else could benefit. So nobody benefit from that knowledge. So from this is that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ, that any of you who heard any hadith, any ayat, any message from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any message from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, pass it on to those who didn't get the message. Why? Because at least you'll be from the second group. At least you, if you're not practicing it yourself, at least you're storing it for somebody else. And in another hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Ad-dalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi." The person who indicates or encourages towards some good is like the person who did, is as if the person did it himself. So I might not be hafiz, but I can encourage somebody to do hifz. The person becomes hafiz, I get the reward. I might not have done tahajjud salah, but I speak about tahajjud salah and I encourage somebody else to do tahajjud salah. And this also something people question, you know. Say, how come you're not doing it yourself, but you're telling others to do it? But dalu ala khair, I'm only encouraging to do good. I might not have the tawfiq, I might not have the ability to do it myself. I'm weak myself. But I've encouraged somebody else to do it, inshallah they do it, somebody will benefit, somebody will get the reward of it, and I'll get free reward just because they're doing it. So, subhanAllah, it doesn't mean that if we don't have the knowledge, we don't have enough knowledge, or we're not practicing on it, that we shouldn't do it. Sometimes in certain eras, in certain areas of the world, in certain times, in certain parts of history, people were not able to practice. People were not allowed to practice. For example, Russia in the communist era and those kind of stuff. If they were not able to practice, did it mean that tabligh was stopped? Did it mean that you couldn't pass on hadith, you couldn't pass on Quran, you couldn't teach it to somebody else? That if you didn't do it, everything would have stopped. So that's why taking from that hadith of passing on to others, that even if you are not able to practice on it immediately, still teach somebody else how to do it. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, treat your servants with kindness, or treat your servants fairly. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be kind to them, don't oppress them, don't overburden them. Feed them what you feed yourselves, and clothe them with what you clothe yourself. So, now here also the rights of those who are under us, those who are subservient to us, those who work for us, or who are under our care, that to treat them in a fair manner. And then after that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sends down the ayat, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. On this ayah, the Jewish man who heard it, he tells Umar radiallahu anhu, if this ayah came to us, we would have made the day a day of Eid. We would have celebrated that day for the rest of time, because that ayah is so amazing. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, I know which day you're talking about. It was already an Eid for us. It is the day of Arafah. There's a special day for us already. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today we have completed and perfected your deen. After that day, there was no other ayah to come. No other ayah of rulings to come after that. There was a few ayat and a few surahs that came after that, but no ayat of rulings and regulations to come after that. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And in that was also an indication of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away about approximately 8 months after this. So this was one of the most final lectures of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the most final messages of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look at the last words that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said right before he passed away, within that last 2 weeks that he passed away, some of the messages were the same. Some of the messages were exactly the same. Treat your woman fairly, treat your woman kindly, be kind to your workers, and hold on to Quran and Sunnah. These are messages that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated even right as he was passing away. So imagine how much of importance there is in this. All of these, each one of these, if we practice on it, inshallah, it could be or it should be enough for our living on this earth among other people, that we can live in a way that is good for us. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.